Revelation chapter 7. And we have dealt with some of chapter 7 last week. Just briefly again, chapters 1, 2, and 3 deals with the church. Chapter 4, John's a type of the church. He said, the Lord says, come up hither, takes him up to heaven. It's a picture of the type of the rapture. And then there's no more church mentioned. From 5 on through 18, basically really 6 through 18 heavily, they're dealing with the tribulation time, and after that, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and on into eternity. Of course, between tribulation and the second coming, we have at the end of the tribulation, we have the Battle of Armageddon. At the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, we have the Battle of Gog and Magog, and then on into eternity. So when you're reading that, that's the way the book of Revelation splits up. And we had talked last week quite a bit about six and the fact that the white horseman, the white horse rider in chapter 6 is the Antichrist. He comes back with one crown and death and hell follow with him later on, back a couple verses down. When Jesus Christ comes, he comes with an army from heaven with many crowns, and faithful and true are his name on his vesture, and his vesture dipped in blood. So we can tell the difference. And you know, the reason they're both wearing white is because that's the way the Antichrist is going to show up. He's going to show up as a man of peace. That's what white represents. And it's always, you know, mankind's always seen a white dove as peace. And that dove's a type of the Holy Spirit. Well, that blasphemous man of sin is going to come back with an offering of a fake peace. And because people don't read the Bible, they don't believe the Lord, they don't trust God anymore, they're going to buy that. They're going to believe that. And it's a shame. Well, we won't be here. We're going to be out of here. We're going to be raptured out probably 6:15 tomorrow, right? Amen. 7:45 today. I don't know. We'll see. But we won't be here. We're not going to go through the Great Tribulation. So in chapter 7, we had talked last week about the tribes, the 144,000. And there were 12,000 out of each tribe. And we talked about the fact that Dan is not mentioned anymore. Dan went the way of the Antichrist. And that's what his dad even said, that he shall be a serpent. And we know that serpent matches up with Genesis 3, the serpent in the garden. And the tribe of Dan went on to take on a bunch of false beliefs and false worship. And they picked their own priest, and they wanted their priest to be to them a father and a priest. And that's important. Every word in this book's important. So we know that that's still going on today. But the tribe of Dan is gone in Revelation, and it's replaced with Levi. And Levi was taken out of the inheritance because the 12 tribes that were in the inheritance were supposed to take care of the tribe of Levi, because that where the Levitical priesthood was coming from. So God added them back in place of Dan. The false priesthood that was set up under Dan has been replaced with a tribe that represents the real priesthood. And that's what God wanted, was a real priesthood, and things set up his way. And that's what God will get. God gets his way. Amen. And we see in the end, God wins. And we've already won because God always wins, and we're in Christ. But what we're looking at here, what we're headed for here, you say, well, you know, we're looking for the rapture. We're looking for this. We're looking for that. We're looking for the wedding and all this, and the wedding supper, you know, whatever we're looking for. But what the Lord's primary focus is on is the second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's pointed to all through this Bible. And we talked about that before. In the Old Testament, they saw the first coming and the second coming, but they didn't see the church age. And honestly, the church age didn't have to be there. If they would have accepted their Messiah. See, God's not a Calvinist, right? Because God don't pick and choose everything for everybody. He don't make people do stuff. If he was, he would have just made the first and second coming. He'd have kept it together. There'd been no church age, and he'd have got the Jews right. But he set it up so he could do it either way. If they did accept him, then he could have come back then. But they didn't. They rejected him. Their leaders wouldn't get right. Their spiritual leaders wouldn't get right. And they were leading them the wrong way. So now we have the church age. The church is going to be out of here. Tribulation time for the Jews, time of Jacob's trouble, time for Daniel's people. That last 3.5 years, that tribulation is what we're going to be looking at tonight, that great tribulation. And then on into the millennial reign after that. And we talked before about the fact that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four accounts of the first coming. And in Revelation, about 6 through 18, beginning of 19, four accounts of the second coming. And we'll start there at the end of 6, chapter 6 today, and then we'll skip ahead because we've already covered a lot of 7. We'll skip ahead a little ways into 7. But at the end of 6, it's talking about, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's where he comes back, fights the battle of Armageddon. And so chapter 6 is actually one time through the tribulation, because it ends with the second coming, but it doesn't cover everything that happens in tribulation. Now, 7, 8, 9, 10, on through, it's going to cover a second time, and it still won't cover everything. These things are happening not consecutively, but concurrent. They're happening. A lot of these things are happening at the same time. And it goes through that four times. So the first time through is chapter 6 of Revelation. And we talked about the seals and the white horse and the black horse and all that. And then we had talked about the 12 tribes. And we know that the Jehovah's Witnesses are severely confused. And the reason they are is the Bible's not their authority. Their authority is outside of the Word of God. And whenever your authority is outside of the Word of God, you're going to be in trouble. And, you know, they're in trouble to the point where they're going to die and go to hell. If they don't get right and trust Christ, they don't even believe in hell. I think they really do. They just act like they don't. They've been educated out of it, if you will. But they go by their watchtower and their writings, and they believe that is equal to, if not superior to, the Bible. Really, they believe it's superior because whoever puts that stuff in the watchtower tells them what to think about the Bible. And they don't have a Bible anyway. They've got a perverted mess that they rewrote to try to fit their doctrine. But they're not, they're the 144,000. They're not the 144,000. These are male Jewish virgins, and they're of the 12 tribes of Israel. So that is not them. It's not any Jehovah's Witnesses. They're going to witness Jehovah, right? Like nobody. But it's not the Jehovah's Witnesses on this earth now. And another thing about that, we talked a little bit about the fact that they were male Jewish virgins. And I do believe that Brother Ruckman said this, actually, and other people probably said it, but I heard him say it. And I never thought about it, really, but I just thought when they said virgins, it was because they're clean and untouched. They hadn't, their flesh was all focused on, they're totally focused on the Lord. They weren't focused on any physical relationships or anything. That's what I thought when I originally read through this years ago. But after studying the Bible and seeing what was going on when Moses came down from the mountain, and they had Aaron blamed the people, but Aaron, he helped them make that calf, and they were worshiping that calf. And you know what happened? Moses comes down there, and there's music, and they're running around naked. So something's not right there. And then a lot of the Old Testament pagan worship and stuff involved just filthy wickedness that had physical things going on. And I believe that's probably what it just looks like it's lining up that way right now. Anything goes. And I believe that's what, you can see where it's headed. A one world government, one world religion, one world, all that stuff. And one world leader. And it's not going to be, Joseph Stalin Biden or whoever that guy is up there. He don't even know who he is. It's not going to be Vladimir Putin. It's not going to be Donald Trump, okay? So you can relax on that, too. It's not going to be Donald Trump. And matter of fact, if I had to guess, I would guess it'll be a 30-year-old pope with a Jewish bloodline. He's one that's always trying to get everybody together. Now, how in the world are you going to get everybody together and get the Jews in on it unless you've got somebody with a Jewish bloodline? And the Antichrist is definitely going to have a Jewish bloodline because he's going to be pretending he's Christ. And they know their Messiah has a Jewish bloodline, right? And we also talked about a little bit about the fact that the virgin part is probably because they're not taking part in the wicked, perverted, ceremonial, religious junk that's going on, the anything goes stuff, which is another reason we have to protect our churches nowadays, and we have to stick to that book. I'm telling you, it's not being mean, it's just being right. Amen? This book tells us what God expects of us. And I don't want to be a piece of the puzzle the Antichrist is using to set up his false religion. Amen? I want to be part of the remnant that's going the right direction, that's pleasing to God. But I believe that's what's going to be going on. I believe that's what was going on when God flooded this world. I know that was what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Filthy wickedness. And God zapped them. And you know what? Lot paid a price for it, even though God calls him just Lot later. Lot paid a price for it because he went to Sodom, was sitting in the gate, and he got a little bit of Sodom on him, and his wife had some Sodom on her, and she turned back to Sodom, and he lost his wife. Well, why'd she turn back? Because she couldn't let go of it. Sodom had gotten into her spiritually, and she looked back. And she had, hey, listen, when they left, there was just a few of them left. There wasn't their whole family. They were down to 10, trying to find 10 people. And they couldn't find 10 people. You know who were left in Sodom? Their family. Unfortunately, it's people that Lot took there. But their family was there. You know what that tells me? The blood of Jesus Christ in that book is more important than your family. Amen. Amen. Hey, God said, Lot, you head out of here and don't look back. And he said, you got it, Lord. And I'm not going to give him a break and say that he didn't cause his wife's problems because he was part of it. He was supposed to be her help, her leader, and she was his helpmate. But she didn't put God before the things that were behind her. You know why most people get in trouble in life? Save people? They don't put God before the stuff that's behind them. They start, oh, the devil will bring it back. Remember when you used to drink? Remember when you used to do this? Remember when you used to do that? Remember when you used to go to this? Remember when you used to go to the gambling boat? Remember when you used to buy the lottery tickets? And you say, well, that's just a little thing. It's not a little thing to God. And you start looking back at that stuff, say, well, I could have a little bit of fun. And the next thing you know, you're out of God's will. And that's what she did. She was out of God's will. Over. But that wickedness that was going on, God's not going to put up with that. God's not going to put up with that, and we're not going to yoke up with that. I'm telling you, it's happening everywhere. I would say that if you went to 80% of the churches in the United States of America today, you're going to find out they got filthy stuff going on in their churches that they sanction from the pulpit. I've heard Baptist churches say, we're just going to have to learn to get along with this and get along. No. No. Get along with Jesus and get along with Jesus. This is not a joke. I mean, if President Trump was reelected and he showed up at that door and he was up, I said, he's going to come in here and speak tonight. And he was standing down here and you guys come in and you saw his presence, wouldn't you think, man, the President of the United States is standing right there. And it'd be a little unnerving. And I guarantee you he's got more presence than the one that's in there now. I'll guarantee you when he walks in a room, he commands some respect, even if he's not the president. It's just the kind of guy he is. And he's a little bit intimidating, probably. Imagine what it's going to be like standing before Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, we just wanted to love, 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 love. He said, well, you love, 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 love your way out of all the rewards. You know? Matter of fact, let me show you what I was going to do with you, what I was going to do with your church. Blip! And you're like, wow. He goes, yeah, but you wouldn't have it because you kept looking back at Sodom. You kept looking back at the world. You wanted to bring the world with you. The world's not coming in here. I mean, we got enough worldliness with us trying to be right. The world's not coming in here. By the grace of God, the strength of God, the power of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, I want to be right. I mean, I've read that book. I know what he does to people when they're not right that way for a long time. He just wipes them out. And he's right when he does it. You know, remember in Israel, when Israel was fighting their enemies, matter of fact, a good example of that was Saul. When Saul was king, he said, you wipe them all out, wipe all the animals out, and they didn't do it. You know why he wanted to wipe them all out? Because their filth was going to get into Israel. The weird part is, Saul went and done pretty much what he wanted, except the animals. And then he tells God, I wanted to keep the dirty animals to sacrifice to you. The animals you wanted me to kill, I wanted to keep them from sacrifices. I mean, that's not right. It was so not right that he lost his kingship over it. He lost the Spirit of God's power. He lost everything over it. There's too much playing around going on in what they call Christianity. And I like to have a good time, and I love you all. And we have a good time together. We sit down and eat and have a good time and do all that stuff. And we sing together, have a good time, brag on the Lord together and have a good time, have prayer meetings, and it's a blessing. And that's great. But the good time we have, I want it to be pleasing to the Lord, and I know you do too. So every once in a while, some things, just the way it is we're sticking with the book. We're sticking with the book. I take this very seriously. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I don't take it as seriously as I should. I'm a human being. But this thing about being a pastor, I take very, very, very seriously. Because God scares me. The thought of standing before Him and being responsible for this, even if everything, if you all get to heaven and He says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and I mess stuff up, and you guys work through it, I still have to answer for it. I don't know what, I expect Him to say, yeah, you made it harder on the people here, it could have been better for them there, preaching thing, I don't know, I'm getting off on a tangent maybe, but it is relevant because God likes clean, and that's why He's talking about these male Jewish virgins here, and if I don't preach messages, or any preacher doesn't preach the messages God wants him to preach, if I don't preach something that I don't want to preach and God wants me to preach it, I am depriving you of an opportunity to get right. Amen. And I'm depriving the Lord of an opportunity to get more glory. And that scares me. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. But I really don't want to hit by a lightning bolt. I don't want to die before my time. And I don't want to stand at the other side of the judgment seat of Christ with nothing. Because I lost everything. And there's some really nice guys with some sweet honey dripping out of their mouths out there. They're going to have nothing at the judgment seat of Christ because they won't preach. And there's some people out there that are deceiving people are going to end up in hell because they don't preach the truth and they don't know the truth. They're not saved. But I'm telling you, this male Jewish virgin thing, God wants clean. And the reason He mentions these things is these folks are clean. And He's using them in that tribulation time. And it goes down through. We talked about the multitude that are worshiping Him. And let's see. Verse 13, and one of the elders, in chapter 7, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So those are folks that come out of the great tribulation time. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. So there they are at the throne worshiping Him day and night. Hey, these folks are thankful for what they got saved out of. It's not as real to us sometimes what we got saved out of. I'm not just talking about our lifestyle. I'm talking about going to hell. These people are going to live a little taste of hell on earth, and God's going to save them and bring them through it. Now, so they're going to be beheaded and stuff, but they're going to be saved. And they're going to worship Him day and night. I love this. Let's see, this verse 16. They shall hunger no more, praise God, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now, these folks are in heaven. But they're still tears. He shall wipe away their tears. And I honestly believe, that we're going to shed tears at the white throne judgment when we see people cast into hell. And then God's going to wipe it all away. But I believe we're going to be there. We're going to witness that. And What a terrible, tragic thing for anybody to go to hell after what Jesus Christ has done for them. And in chapter number 8, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire off the, with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. So what we're doing here, we're seeing those prayers of the saints being answered. Remember what they asked? How long, O Lord? How long? What was that? Chapter 6, verse 10. And they cry with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So there's the prayers of those that are under the altar. And then at the end of toward the end of chapter 7, we see those worshiping him. And he says, those are the ones that come through great tribulation. Remember, in chapter 6, he said, until the rest of the folks are martyred, basically. Paraphrase. Now you get over here, and now he's answering those prayers. He's answering those calls. And he's sending judgment down. And he's going to have those seven trumpets, and all this judgment's going to fall. Interesting thing, in verse number 1 of chapter 8, it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven about a space of half an hour." Now, I know there are a lot of different opinions on what this is, and I don't know what they all are, and I know most people say you can't know for sure. And I'll tell you what it could be. I'm going to throw a could be out there because it kind of flows with this. It could be God just sitting there listening to those prayers for a while. And then they're dumping these prayers out. These prayers and this incense are going up. That might be that half-hour time where God's just hearing these prayers, getting ready to cast judgment down on these people on the earth. I don't know. I would say that's a good chance of that being it as any. I don't know if there's any place in the Bible that will tell you for sure, and I don't know of anybody that says they know for sure. But to me, that'd be a good possibility. That could be. It could be God just saying, you know, and him listening to all those prayers, and then giving the okay, and then they start casting out judgment on this place. And then it's on. I mean, destruction, misery, woe. It's just going to be a horrible, horrible situation on this earth. You notice in verse 5 again, it says, And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. That fire is a type of judgment. Where are people going when they don't trust Christ, their Lord and Savior? Everlasting fire. And here that fire comes, that type of judgment. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. I mean, hell on earth for these people. It's going to be a terrible, terrible tragedy for folks that are here. And man, I'm glad we won't be here. Good to be saved. So that second trumpet sounds, and the great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died in the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. So all this stuff's going on. You got a third of this burning up and dying, the water turning to blood, a third of the life in the water dying, a third of the men dying because of the water's bitterness, because of wormwood. And then this angel says, whoa, 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 because of what's yet to come. Saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. And now we'll look at how this unfolds a little more, Lord willing, next week. But we've got people all over the world, all different probably podcasts and YouTube or whatever they've got going on, trying to figure out where we're at in these verses. I can tell you we're not in these verses. we can read about it, and it's going to be a scary time for folks. It's a terrible time, but we won't be here. So I think if there's ever a time for a study in Revelation, it's now. So we realize what's going on. Where are we? Well, we left in chapter 4. Amen. And praise the Lord. I'm glad that we left in chapter 4. There's some other folks that leave in chapter 11, but that's after Great Tribulation. And see, a lot of folks get, we'll look at that maybe next week or the week after, but a lot of folks get goofed up and say, well, there's the rapture. There's a rapture, but it's not the rapture. The church goes out before, and then tribulation saints go out at the end of tribulation. And wouldn't you say this is wrath on the earth? Answer those prayers. And God said he's not appointed us, the children of God, to wrath. Who do you point to wrath? The children of the devil. So the people that are on this earth, look, this the devil is subtle, and the devil is busy. And he's running around and got people telling everybody, oh, we're all brothers and sisters, we're all children of God, we're all going to get... I've heard people tell me that. Has anybody ever talked to you about how to get to heaven? Oh, we're all God's children. God is love. We're all, no, that's not true. If you're born again, you're God's child. If you're not, you're a child of the devil. That's the way it works. That's what the Bible says. That's not my opinion. My opinion is God is good and he did everything right. And he's going to continue doing everything right. Amen. But the world believes that. The devil has sold them a bill of goods, and a lot of people are believing that. They either believe there's no God, the Bible's, you know, try to explain everything away, or they, oh, God's just going to, man. God just couldn't put anybody in hell. We're all children of God. That is not true. We are not all children of God. It's not true. The first birth makes you alive physically, but you're dead spiritually in the image of Adam. That second birth puts you in the family of God, according to John chapter 1. To them gave you the power to become the sons of God. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If you haven't got your sins under the blood of Jesus Christ, you're a child of the devil. You say, well, that's just hard preaching. That's true preaching. That's true preaching. And if it's from the pulpit or out on the street or in Walmart, it's true. It's true. But... I'll tell you, this is shaping up to where I believe we're going to be out of here soon. I really do. And I tell you that these things about like the children of God thing, to realize when you hear that, when somebody's not giving you a salvation testimony and they're just telling you everybody's children of God, those people are probably going to hell. If they can't tell you when they got saved, they're not saved. I mean, if they lost their mind or something and they were saved, that's one thing. But if they give I've heard everything in the world but salvation from I don't know how many people. Oh, my grandma prayed for me. I went to church. I got baptized. I got actually been baptized 3 times. You know, I got rebaptized. I belong to 3 different churches. I actually go to this church down here. I mean, they'll give you everything in the world, but nobody gets around the blood of Christ or trusting Christ or calling on Christ or trusting him for salvation. A lot of times folks don't do that. Most people don't anymore. I'm not saying just, oh, everybody's lost. But don't just count everybody saved either. Give them the truth. just because they tell you that they go to church or whatever. And the reason I'm telling you that, because every once in a while, when I'm handing a track out or something, somebody will say something like that, and I'm in a hurry, and I'm like, they're probably saved. Now I'm like, hang on a minute. The Lord's like, well, wait a minute now. They just told you they went to church. And they just agreed that Jesus Christ is real. They didn't say anything about salvation. So I don't want to bypass the opportunity to witness the folks when I think a lot of people are lost and just think they're going to be all right because they go to church or they do good things. And Jesus Christ spent a great deal of his ministry talking to a bunch of people that thought they were all right because they were doing some pretty good things. They called them Pharisees and Sadducees. And here we are in the final hours of the church age, and we've got an opportunity to reach people for Christ. Don't pass it up. Don't pass it up. Don't pass up the opportunity to pray either for folks. But we'll, Lord willing, take off there in maybe the end of chapter 8 again, verse 1 of 9, somewhere next week.